Depth was supposed to be a strength for the Sacramento Kings, or at least we thought so coming into the season. But right now, Mike Brown is searching for a second unit. The starting five might be solidified, but the rotation needs a lot of help. Kings fall to 0-4 against the Memphis Grizzlies. We're going to break it down right here on Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Time for another episode of Locked On Kings.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all offseason. Today presented by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered all season long with more props, lines, and odds than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I'm a Sacramento sports reporter and producer for ABC 10. I'm currently standing in the key right in front of one of the baskets here on the floor of the Golden 1 Center, where the Kings are 0-3 this season. Now they're 0-4 as a whole, but three of those four losses have come in this building. And tonight was the first game really in this building where it didn't really seem winnable for Sacramento. Now they got off to a great start. A lot of that has to do with the fact that I think the Kings have found their starting lineup for the season. I don't think there's any reason to make any kind of changes. De'Aaron Fox, Kevin Huerter, Harrison Barnes, Keegan Murray, DeMontis Sabonis played very, very well together. Got off to a 16-8 start against Memphis really as soon as the first substitution was made, which was Chimezie Metu coming into the game replacing Keegan Murray. Now that was a move to get Keegan out so he could get a quick breather and he could come in and be a large part of the offensive power of the second unit. The Kings needed him out there, and Mike Brown was clearly trying to stagger some minutes there. As soon as the Kings went away from their starting lineup, that's where Memphis went on their run, got back into the game, and took the lead, and Sacramento was kind of playing catch-up for the majority of the game. I think when the Kings went back into or back with their starting lineup at one point later in the first half, they immediately went on a 7-0 run. And really, with this starting five, there was only one player who didn't finish in double-figure scoring. That was Kevin Huerter. He finished with just 7 points, only played 19 minutes. He apparently, late in the second quarter, injured his wrist. He did start the second half, didn't look great, came out of the game, didn't come back in for the remainder. We have no update on his status. I'm sure we'll get more information when that comes out. And of course, I'll share that with you on Twitter at MattGeorgeSack as soon as I hear anything about that. And we'll talk about it on a future episode of Locked On Kings, because the Kings desperately need Kevin Huerter, and hopefully he does not miss any time with that injury. But overall, the Kings starting unit is fine. I don't think there's any reason to be concerned about that starting five. They're really good. They played really well together. As soon as the bench came in, though, it's a completely different story. The Kings bench was outscored by the Grizzlies bench in this game 45-27. And the Grizzlies scored those 45 bench points with four guys. It only took four guys shooting 62% from the field off of the bench to create that massive difference there in that stat column. And that difference, honestly, was where the Memphis Grizzlies were able to win this game. That and the play of Desmond Bane, who was just absolutely fantastic for Memphis in this game. But with the exception of Malik Monk, who scored 15 points, and 10 of those 15 points came in the third quarter, the Kings really didn't get much from their bench. 27 total points again, 15 of them were from Monk. Davion Mitchell had 7 of them. Terrence Davis had 3 of them. Chimezie Metu had 2. That was it. Like I told you in the last episode of Locked On Kings, as soon as we found out that Keegan Murray was going to be a starter, we knew that these players off the bench, the Davion Mitchells, the Malik Monks, the Terrence Davises, the Rashawn Holmes, those guys need to step up more. And Monk kind of did for a short burst. We got some cool moments, some cool lob moments between Fox and Monk, and then Monk threw a lob back to Fox here on this basket behind me, and it got the Kings kind of going in the third quarter, building a little bit of a run, trying to get back into this game. It was fun to see that Kentucky on Kentucky connection, turning back the clock a little bit, but ultimately, it didn't amount to anything. And if it weren't for Malik Monk, the Sacramento Kings would have been where they were at the end of the first half, which is just 5 bench points. 5 bench points in that first half. Not nearly good enough, especially considering Mike Brown went 12 deep with his lineup in the first half. Mike Brown, quite honestly, and he admitted this after the game, he was searching, desperately searching for someone, a group, with that second unit to come in and to make an impact, to make a difference. 12 guys. Now, Mike Brown normally likes his rotation to be between 9 and 10 guys. 9 is pretty much that sweet spot. To play 3 more guys than that off of your bench just to find someone who can give you some valuable minutes. Chimezie Metu was the first guy off the bench. That was a bit surprising to me. Didn't really work. At one point, Chimezie Metu and Chima Maneke were in the game at the same time. That clearly didn't work. Mike Brown was a little bit desperate. Some people are a little upset with Mike Brown because of the amount of different guys he tried to get going. But part of me honestly doesn't blame him. When you're struggling that bad, when you have your starting five that's solidified, that they're doing a good job, but you can't play them a boatload of minutes without tiring them out over the course of an entire season, even coming off of 3 days rest, you need your bench to step up more, especially offensively. Offense is supposed to be the strength of this Kings team, because defensively, we know this team is bad. They're trying to get better. They're still bad. But the offense is supposed to be a strength of this team. And when you're not getting much of anything offensively from your second unit outside of Malik Monk, yeah, you're going to be searching for someone to kind of fix that and figure that out and help that. And Mike was searching all game long, and to be completely honest with you, he didn't really find much. Even with the good game that Malik Monk had, you still need more out of him consistently over the course of a game. You definitely need more out of Davion Mitchell. Davion Mitchell's offensive game at this point is a little bit concerning. I know what he can provide on the defensive end, and with the exception of a couple times Desmond Bane blew by him, he did what we expect from off night. Offensively, you need more, and he's capable of running the offense. We know that he can kind of pick up where De'Aaron Fox left off in terms of a floor general and trying to play with a fast tempo, that Mike Brown style of offense that the Kings want to run for all 48 minutes. We know he's capable of that, but there's a fat question mark with Davion Mitchell right now when it comes to his offensive output, the points that he's able to score. 7 points, not horrible from your backup point guard, but in a case like this where your bench was terrible, you need more out of him. And he just wasn't aggressive enough offensively. And then Terrence Davis. I thought Terrence Davis got actually a lot of good looks in this game. He just kind of had a bit of a struggling shooting night. But you can't really live with a struggling shooting night from Terrence Davis when nobody else is really getting going. And then when it comes to Rashawn Holmes, we were talking about Rashawn coming into the season as potentially the best backup big in the NBA. Rashawn doesn't look comfortable at all. And I also am not 100% convinced that the Sacramento Kings second unit knows how to use Rashawn. I mean, Rashawn is a valuable asset in the pick and roll. He's valuable with the ball in the middle. His push shot is automatic. Where did that version of Rashawn Holmes go? Are the Kings even trying to give Rashawn those opportunities that he had? Like, Rashawn doesn't look good. He doesn't look comfortable. He doesn't look like he has any sort of rhythm. I don't necessarily blame him for that, although, of course, he's partially to blame. He's definitely to be held responsible for that. But I think the Kings need to do a better job of getting him involved. Right now, he just looks like an athletic big that's going to kind of take up the spot and take up the minutes and eat up the time that Domantas Sabonis needs to sit on the bench to rest and hopefully just tread water. Rashawn Holmes is way better than that. So to see him struggling, to see the entire bench unit struggling, the lack of chemistry really with that bench unit, unless there's a starter or two in the game really helping the bench get going, they're not really much of a factor. And in games like tonight, where the Memphis Grizzlies and their bench are doing their jobs, know exactly what to do and do it well, the Kings really, in a lot of ways, have no chance. I asked Mike Brown after the game. I talked to him, and apologize for the banging in the background. The great workers here of the Golden One Center are cleaning and getting the arena ready for some kind of event or something that's happening coming up. Regardless, I asked Mike Brown after the game about his thoughts on like how he manages using 3 days of practice time to experiment with lineups versus using actual game time to experiment with lineups. Because he was definitely experimenting tonight. He was definitely searching tonight. Here's what Mike Brown had to say.
Mike, I think I counted 12 guys who had played by halftime.
Yeah.
Can you explain a little bit how you balance using the 3 days that you had off to experiment with those lineups and what those groups look like, but then actually using actual game time and game minutes to experiment as well?
Yeah, so obviously things are different in practice than in the game. You know, in the game, it's faster, more physical. Sometimes you get the call, sometimes you don't get the call. And so for me, everybody's been practicing hard. They've been practicing great. We're trying to get better. We're locked in practices trying to get better and competing against one another. And so now it's time for me, okay, if this guy's doing it in practice and that guy's doing it in practice, maybe let me give him an opportunity out on the floor. And so that's what it was more than anything else. But when we had our second unit out there and we were fouling, sending them to the free throw line and or they were scoring, that's when I started to search a little bit to see, okay, who can step up, help us get some stops, and then maybe put some pressure on them offensively.
The reality is, even with how good the Memphis Grizzlies are, and they're really good, I'm talking a top three, top four team in the Western Conference, I believe. And John Morant didn't have the best of nights either. I think he had like 22 points or something like that. He was kind of battling a little bit of a bug or a little bit of an illness. It looked like Desmond Bane stepped up, as well as the rest of the Memphis Grizzlies team stepped up. And again, Jaren Jackson Jr., he's out right now. So this team's not even at full strength, and they're playing this good. So I don't disrespect the Memphis Grizzlies or mean to disrespect them by any means, but when you're coming off of 3 days rest, when you're coming off of three practice days this early on in the season, you have to be better than what you were. And when you're a team that wants to be better, I think De'Aaron Fox said, like, if we want to be a good team, good teams beat good teams. Like, the Kings have to find a way. I mean, their last chance is this Miami game on Saturday. They have to find a way to win one of these games at home. You start 0-5 with 4 out of 5 games being at home? That's not the sign of a good team at all. That's the sign of a bad team. Kings have a lot to figure out before Saturday. I expected them to be a little bit better tonight. I didn't mean that I expected them to win, but I expected them to have more of a chance than they ended up having really in this game. With the exception of how this game started, it was pretty much all Memphis Grizzlies, and the Kings were trying to play catch up. Today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast is brought to you by LinkedIn. And these days, every new potential hire can feel like a high stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the most qualified candidates available for your job. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the right people faster to join your team. They have amazing tools like screening questions. They make it easy to focus on candidates with the right skills and experience for your job. And instead of you having to sift through application after application, resume after resume, only to realize that these guys, these people aren't good enough or aren't experienced enough for the position that you're trying to hire, LinkedIn handles all that for you. It's just part of the amazing reason why so many small businesses, so many hiring managers are turning to LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates that you want to talk to faster. You can post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNBA. That's LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNBA to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. One of the good things from this game for the Sacramento Kings, Harrison Barnes got back to his old self. The Black Falcon made a return here at the Golden 1 Center. Now, he wasn't excellent by any means, but he was way better than he's been in the first three games. He finished with 20 points, had a pretty efficient 50% shooting night from the field. He hit his first shot, which was a transition three right here on the wing behind me. It was great to see him get going. Actually hit his first two shots. Did have 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. However, those numbers, the 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal, he had those at halftime. So with the exception of scoring, he didn't do much outside of that in the second half. I thought defensively he wasn't fantastic. He wasn't great, but he wasn't bad either. And the offense looked like it was coming to him a lot more. He was also being aggressive at times when the Kings needed it. And that's what I really feel is going to be a strength of this second unit. Harrison Barnes is the fifth option. And so much attention is going to be on Fox, on Sabonis, even Keegan Murray to some extent. I think Kevin Huerter and Harrison Barnes in particular are going to get a lot of good looks on the perimeter, and if they can hit them at a pretty solid clip, 40%+, they're going to be dangerous weapons for Sacramento. But the question is, once those guys come out of the game, who behind them is going to help carry the load a little bit to stretch a full 48-minute winning effort out for the Sacramento Kings team? De'Aaron Fox, another really solid game. He finished with 27 points, 11 of 19 shooting from the field. That's 57%. Also had 6 rebounds, did only have 2 assists. So maybe the floor general side of De'Aaron Fox was not there and needed to be there a little bit more. But De'Aaron continues to offensively do what he needs to do to help keep the Kings in it. Now, could Fox have gone more takeover mode at times? Absolutely. This was one of those games where it felt like Fox kind of cruised and coasted to a really, really good score. And I'm not diminishing 27 points at all, and I'm not saying that he was taking plays off by any means. It's just that De'Aaron Fox is so good that 27 points he can do while making it look effortless. there wasn't really much of a stretch or a period of time where Fox just said, get on my back team, I'm going to carry you to the promised land. The Kings weren't really in a point at the end of the game where he could get away with that. He did have a couple of costly turnovers, unfortunately, especially in the end, at the end of the game, that really put this game out of reach and allowed the Memphis Grizzlies to put the game away with a couple minutes remaining. But overall, it's a game that I'm not really mad at from De'Aaron. Sure, I could ask for more, but I'm asking for more out of the second unit and more out of this team as a whole, more than I'm asking for more out of De'Aaron at this point in time. Keegan Murray, in his first start, finished with 18 points, shot 7 of 15 from the field, which is 46%. That's actually kind of a low number for Keegan, all things considered. I thought he got a lot of good, great looks. Many of them weren't falling. He was in and out on two or three really good looks from three-point range in this game. But you can't turn your nose up at 18 points in your debut as a starter by any means. That's around what we expected Keegan Murray's average to be here this rookie season, maybe even a little bit better than his average that a lot of people considered. So yes, Keegan Murray needs to be better at times. The Kings could have used more out of Keegan. They could have used more out of everybody from their starting lineup with how the bench played. But he could have hit a couple more open shots than what he actually did. But overall, again, I'm not too disappointed by what I saw out of Keegan. There was a moment, though, that Keegan Murray was, he should have had 20 points in this game, maybe even 21, because he was attacking the basket. And he finishes with this gorgeous finger roll layup, and he's called for an offensive foul because as he jumped to lay the ball up off his fingertips, his knee came up and I guess kneed Steven Adams in the groin. And while I understand it's not great to hit anybody in the groin, and it certainly wasn't intentional, I don't know what Keegan was supposed to do at that point. As far as I understand, Steven Adams was in or around the restricted area. It was right at the basket. Keegan was not making an unnecessary movement or kicking out his feet or any means. He was going naturally, athletically up to the rim. Most finger roll one-handed layups, you jump with a knee out to get that kind of lift that you need to get to the rim. And he was called for an offensive foul. Really, I think that's the rookie treatment coming into play. And while we're on this, the topic of weird calls or non-calls, really, by the officiating crew, there is a moment on this basket that I'm standing right in front of where Desmond Bane, he was rolling, and Davion Mitchell was guarding him, and he beat Davion Mitchell to the basket, out-physicaled him, muscled him around the rim, finished with a really tough layup, turns to Davion right here where I'm standing or right here where I'm pointing at, and flexes right in front of him, right to his face, just full on double gun flex right in Davion's face, looking right at him. Absolutely, like, no question about it. That was a message to Davion, like, you can't stop me, I just beat you in that play. No taunting call whatsoever. And you know what, to be honest with you, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Let the man flex, let the man have his moment. He beat Davion on that play. There were no words said, it was just a gesture. Sure, it was a taunt, whatever. It wasn't that big of a deal. That's the way it should be. But when Terrence Davis, again, right over here at this spot, gets a tip dunk in game one. Yeah, I'm not over this yet. He gets a tip dunk in game one. Dame Lillard is lying on the ground, and Davis screams, not even at him, but just lets out a roar and starts going back on defense. Oh, okay, that's a taunting call. That's a technical foul. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Now, of course, these were different officiating crews, so you can't hold one accountable for the others, but I'm just pointing out a inconsistency, and we know there are a lot of inconsistencies, especially when it comes to stars by the officiating crew. Overall, I feel like the Kings defense is better, and Mike Brown pointed out in the pregame that he feels that the Kings defense is playing better, and the half-court defense has made improvements. It's the transition defense and the defending without fouling that's been a problem for this team for the most part this season. But once again, the Kings gave up 30 points in every single quarter. That's a recipe for disaster. The Kings gave up 32 points in the first quarter and then 31 points in the second, third, and fourth. If you're not stopping any team from scoring less than 30 points in a quarter, you're not giving yourself much of a chance to win, especially when your offense, which is supposed to be your primary strength, if you're not straight outscoring your opponent and you're giving up 30 a night, you're in really, really big trouble. And the Kings in this game couldn't kind of overcome that. But defensively, like, the Kings used to give up 30 points a quarter in their sleep last season, and sometimes it would get close to 40. Hell, we saw the Golden State Warriors have a 50-point second quarter last game, right? So we know this team is not great defensively yet, or even good defensively yet. I just, eye test wise, I feel this team is better.
And it actually leads to a larger point where if you compare where the Kings are at right now to where they were at this time last season's record is better. But this Sacramento Kings team, to me, feels better. I don't know, it's kind of hard to explain. I'm gonna go into that a little bit after I tell you about a great sponsor here of the Locked On Kings podcast. That is Bet Online, our title sponsor of today's episode. I hope you made some money off of tonight's Kings loss. If nothing else, maybe you took the Memphis Grizzlies and their line in this game. I'm not entirely sure what it was. I know the Grizzlies were favored, and at 15 points, I'm sure they covered that spread. But it's not just, of course, Kings and Grizzlies. You can bet on all of the NFL and college football action happening right now, all the professional and college basketball action, college basketball about to get rolling here. They have the best lines, the best props, the best odds that you're going to find anywhere. And of course, it's not just those major sports. You can bet on the World Series happening right now as well. You can also bet on MMA, boxing, golf, some of those other niche sports. They have really fun prop bets, really fun future bets. There's so many great ways for you to make money using your fandom, using your sports knowledge, and maybe even using your Kings optimism or pessimism. Go to betonline.net to take advantage, to win some money and use that sports knowledge to your advantage. That's BetOnline, where the game starts. I can't explain it, but these 0-4 Sacramento Kings feel like they are a better team than the Sacramento Kings last season, who were 2-2 after their first four games. After their first five, they were 3-2. They had a winning record after their first five games. And yet, now granted, I have this recency bias and this context right now on the top of my brain more than I have a calendar year ago what that team was doing, but I can't explain it. It just feels like this team is better constructed. They are just a better overall basketball team. They have a better starting five. I trust this team more, and yet they're not winning when last year's team did. And I know some of you want to say, hey, that's the Tyrese Haliburton effect, because Tyrese Haliburton was on the team when they were doing that. I guess I understand that point a little bit to some extent. I would still take this roster now than I would take what the roster was when the Kings started last season. I really believe, honestly, that this Kings team just needs to break the seal. Once they get a win, once they settle in and actually win a basketball game, I think things are going to open up for them a little bit more. Now, they can't wait too much longer to get that first win because they're putting themselves in a pretty deep hole already. Still plenty of time, plenty of season remaining. They're four games into an 82-game season. You got 78 games to figure it out. Plenty of time to turn it around and go 78-4, right? But the more you lose, the deeper that hole gets, especially when so many of these games are at home. Good teams protect their home floor. Go at least bare minimum 500 at home. And the Kings right now are 0-3. And with Miami coming in on Saturday for a matinee game, or at least an earlier start game, a 3 o'clock start, there's a very good chance that this team could be 0-4 at home, 0-5 to start the season before going on a four game road trip that consists of Charlotte, Miami, Orlando, and the Golden State Warriors to wrap it up. Some winnable games in that trip, but we also thought there were some winnable games during this homestand that the Kings have not been able to figure out. I would very much prefer the Kings going on that road trip with a win in their belt and figuring that out, because I genuinely think this team is better than what they're showing. Once they get that win, once they figure out their rotations a little bit more, I think they're going to be in a better spot. But as of right now, yeah, you're right to be concerned. I don't think it's time to hit the panic button yet, but you should be disappointed. You absolutely should be disappointed. We expected this team to hopefully get off to a good start. They still can. Right now, they're not. And with losses to teams like Portland, who you think you're better than, even though the Portland Trailblazers are off to a really good start this season, teams like the Memphis Grizzlies, who are without one of their stars in Jaren Jackson Jr., and Ja Morant is not having his best game, even though he still had 22 points or whatever it was. Like, when you're on your home floor, especially after a day's rest, these are games that you have to figure out a way to win. Sacramento has not figured that out yet. Time is still on their side, but history is not. Kings can't wait too much longer, in my opinion. Let me know how you're feeling about this group right now. When you compare it to last year's team, maybe go back and watch some of the highlights from last year's team. I'm going to do that a little bit, especially at the beginning of the season. Do you agree with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? That this team is better, and yet the results aren't there. I don't know how to explain it. It's a feeling that I get watching this Kings team, knowing they're so much better and so much more capable than what they're showing. And they just got it. They're so close in a lot of ways. They just have to figure it out. Not a silver lining take. I just believe that this Kings team is far more capable, far more well-rounded, and can be better on both ends of the floor than what they're showing. Whereas last year's team at a 3-2 start, that might have been their peak already just five games into the season. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Let me know. Let's talk about it. At Matt George Sack on Twitter, email me mattgeorgesports@gmail.com or leave your thoughts in the YouTube comment section down below. Let me know how you're feeling in general at this point. Are you doom and gloom? Are you hitting the panic button? Are you still patient? Do you believe the Kings are close? What do you think about Mike Brown's rotations? What do you think that second unit can be? We have a lot of things to discuss. And if in future episodes of Locked On Kings, as the Kings prepare for the Miami Heat on Saturday, and we'll see if that rotation is a little more established, a little more refined by that point. For right now, though, from the Golden One Center, I'm going to say so long for the night. Really appreciate your support. To those of you who are out at the Golden One Center tonight that said hi, really, really appreciate you as well. It's always a pleasure to chat with you. I appreciate you continuing to tune into Locked On Kings. If you could leave a review for the podcast, that would really help. Apple Podcasts or iTunes is the best place to do that. Hit 5 stars. Leave a little blurb about what you like about the podcast, why you would encourage others to listen to the podcast. And, of course, keep on supporting. I really, really appreciate that. Really enjoyed doing it for you. And can't wait to have you join me on the next episode. Until then, my name is Matt George. You have been listening to Locked On Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.